Good morning. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to come speak with you guys this morning. Pastor was saying, this is my family, Rachel, Ariella, Jocelyn, and Morel. I am kind of a born and bred Minnesotan, went to high school in Jordan, was born in Bloomington. My wife is from North Carolina, which is a lot hotter than Minnesota. My oldest was born in North Carolina, and my two youngest were born in Waconia. So this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you guys my personal story and how God called me at a young age into international work. And also how he called our family into international work. But as I do that, what I want to do is I want to look at a Bible passage that kind of expresses and explains the reason and the purpose that we do international work as the Alliance, that we go places that are hard, places that are difficult. If you don't know, I'm sure most of you do, but if you don't know, you are part of a rich heritage of believers who have been called and sent and gone to some of the hardest and most difficult places to reach in the world. The verse we're going to be looking at is in Romans 5, 1 through 11. So if you can turn with me there, I'm going to read that real quick. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Would you pray with me this morning? Holy Spirit, I ask that you would be in this room, that you would be communicating the truth of your word. God, I ask that you would help me this morning to speak what you want, that you would move in our hearts, that you would draw us closer to yourself through this message, that Jesus, as we sang, you would be glorified this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, my first memory of being called to international work was when I was about 10, 11 years old. I was in a meeting similar to this with, I don't know if you guys know of Bethany over in Bloomington, but I was at a missions conference with my family, and the speaker was speaking on Matthew, where Jesus is with his disciples, and he's talking about how the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into his vineyard. In my young age, what this did in me and over the following years is it stirred up a prayer in my heart. All right, I want to be obedient to God. I want to be obedient to what Jesus told his disciples to do. So Jesus, would you send laborers into your harvest? And so as I began to pray that over the next years, what happened is God began to transform my heart. A lot of times, what I've found in my 36 years of life is that when I ask God for something, like give me more patience, or give me more hope, or give me more joy, or send laborers into the vineyard, oftentimes the way God responds to that is he gives me opportunities to have patience. He gives me opportunities to have hope. And what he did with this is as I was praying, Lord, send them into the harvest field, God began to transform my heart and began to speak to me and draw me to a place of, Chris, I'm going to send you into the harvest field. Now, 10, 11 years old, I had no idea what that meant. As life progressed, I still didn't have any idea what that meant. At 36 years old, I'm still learning what that means. But God transformed my heart from a send them to a send me. Now, I was an okay kid, grew up in the church, but once I hit high school, things got a little bit interesting. I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor. I tried to, in church, look the part, sound the part, but I was a little more on the fringe of church, if that makes sense. We went to some pretty conservative churches, and I had bleached blonde hair. I had earrings. I liked rock and roll music. And my experience in church wasn't the great because I never felt that I could live up to the expectations of what God in Scripture tells us to do. I tried as I went through 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, I would go to the Bible, which is good, and I would read the Old Testament, the New Testament, and a lot of what I took away was you need to look like this in order to please God. And what that does is it creates religion in a person's heart. It created religion in my heart. I was trying to approach God by my own merit. If I do this, if I look this way, if I act this way, then God will accept me and love me. What that did, though, is it created a degree of hopelessness. Religion, you can see it throughout Scripture, creates hopelessness. It creates a strict adherence to law, ignoring relationship with the Creator. It creates a fruit management where you look real good on the outside, but like Jesus talked about, inside you're just whitewashed tombs, or you're just tombs with dead bones. Religion creates hopelessness. It creates I'm going to look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're broken and you're hurting. This was my experience growing up. I hit 11th grade, and I distinctly remember, I'm done with this. I'm done with being a Christian. I'm done with following God. I don't want it anymore. And so I began pursuing a lifestyle where I was like, I'm going to go after anything that I think will bring me pleasure. So I chased skirts. I got into drinking, got into drugs, and just really went after a lifestyle of, if it makes me feel good, I'm going to do it. What I found from this is that if I was hopeless before, this created even a deeper despair and hopelessness. It brought me to a place where I attempted to commit suicide. I ended up in a hospital for 72 hours because I had no hope. The promises of sin, the promises of pleasure, the promises of this life, they look good, they feel good for a little bit, but the end result is death. And I saw that. Because of that, because of going on to 72-hour watch, I had to go to a counselor. Now, I went to a counselor, didn't like him very much, so I convinced my parents to let me go see my youth pastor once a week, and I would get out of school for it, so it was, you know, plus all around, and they agreed to it. They said, all right, you can meet with the youth pastor. We have a very storied past. We almost got into a fight once when I was like 14 because I was a punk kid, and he knew my family, and he knew he could, you know, deal with me in a more hands-on approach. So we had a relationship previously, and I started meeting with him on a weekly basis, and this went over about 6 months. Over those 6 months, I mean, I just continued pursuing pleasure. I was like, you know what? These things are fun. I was 17, so I don't know. Maybe my brain wasn't fully developed yet, but I still went after the pleasure. But it still didn't give me hope. And what transpired over these next 6 months is I would meet with my youth pastor, and you know, he was a youth pastor, he was cool, he hung out with me, and he was very good at not accepting my sin, because I would sit down with him and I'd say, yeah, this is what I just did yesterday. Yeah, I just got high 2 days ago. And I would communicate my sin to him. But what he did is he looked past my sin, didn't condone it. He would say, that was stupid, Chris. You should stop doing that. He still says that when I come to him, like, hey, man, I'm struggling with this or whatever. He's like, that's stupid. Stop. Gee, thanks. But he began to minister to the deep places of my heart. He began to look past the fruit that was gross, and he began to speak to my heart and minister to my heart. And through that, over the next 6 months, he showed me Jesus. He showed me Jesus' disposition to me. In the book of John, it talks about God being the good vine dresser, going through and pruning the branches, and how we should abide in Jesus. Never in those verses does it say, hey, fix your fruit. Make your fruit look better. What it says is that God goes to the root of the issue, to the heart things, does the work, and then the fruit naturally falls off and good fruit is produced. And I saw that through this relationship with my youth pastor. In February of 2005, sitting with my youth pastor, God showed me through my youth pastor's actions and ministry that I could actually trust God. That he genuinely cared about what was inside in my heart and my brokenness. And that's what he wanted to deal with. And the sin, the fruit, naturally would be fixed as he ministered to me deeply. It was at that time that I realized the verse, the truth in Romans 5, 1 through 2, which says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I had hope for the first time. this passage points out, because of faith in Jesus, because of faith in what Jesus has done for us, his death, well, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, because of faith in Jesus, we have peace with God. Later on it says, while we were still enemies with God, Christ died for us. We have peace with God because Jesus came and came to us to start the relationship. And because of that peace with God, I have hope. I have a hope in the glory of God. What does this mean? We have lots of hopes. We're coming close to Christmas. Kids, I bet you have tons of hopes for specific presents, right? Yeah? Okay. I know we as adults have hopes for presents potentially. But the reality is sometimes those hopes disappoint, right? I'm not going to get the ice castle that I want. Can't take that to where we're going anyway. But there's hope that disappoints. Sometimes you don't get that thing you want. Sometimes a friend hurts you. But what this is saying is there's a hope in the glory of God that doesn't disappoint. The relationship, the peace that we have with God produces a hope that won't disappoint, because at the end of our lives, at the end of this age, we will live with God forever. And the pain that we see, the brokenness that we experience, the hurts that we endure, the trials that we face will be gone. Our hope is in a time of dwelling with God forever. And that hope begins now as he works in our hearts and makes us more like him. So fast forward, I went to Texas to a ministry, met my wife in 2007. We were married in 2008. One thing that really attracted me to her, other than her beauty, was this desire to serve internationally as an international worker. In 2012, as we were at Crown College, we had the opportunity to go to the Holy Lands on a one-month trip. And during this trip, we saw a lot of stuff there. We saw a culture divided against itself, leading to violence. We saw people pursuing religion and attempting to get to God on their own merits, leading to hopelessness. We saw people disenfranchised with religion who decide instead of pursuing God, they pursued a lifestyle similar to the one I did in high school, where they pursue pleasure, and it leads to hopelessness. It leads to depression, to suicide. Stay with us after the service, and we'll give you some more of the stats of all that. But what it does is it leads to hopelessness. And I remember one day I was there and I was praying in the city and just wrestling with God about his disposition to the people there and things like that. And he stirred up that prayer in my heart again. Lord, would you send laborers to this people? And literally, this was kind of the first time this had happened, where it wasn't just kind of a gradual change of the heart. Let me tell you, again, I'm a Minnesotan through and through. I love sitting on the ice, negative 30 degree weather. It is very hot over there. And I was very uncomfortable, and I was very whiny. You can ask my wife about it. And so God, in that moment, I wasn't ready for it. God, send them, someone else, to this place. And I distinctly remember feeling God say, I'm sending you and your family. And so we've been on this path for 11 years now. We graduated from Crown, served in a church, thinking we'd be there for 3 to 5 years, ended up, or was thinking we'd be overseas within 3 to 5 years, ended up taking a bit longer than we expected. Now things have changed in that country, so may take a little longer still. But what we've learned is where Romans talks about the suffering producing character and producing hope. God has done something in our hearts and in my family's hearts over these past years that I wouldn't trade for anything. Where we experienced a lot of suffering, we experienced a lot of trials. Again, I'd love to share more about that, but let's do that after the service. The reality is this. So I have my story. I have a story where God showed me hope. Like I said before, you are part of the Alliance. You're part. We didn't become a denomination, I don't think, until the 70s. But we were founded in 1890, I believe it was. We came together for one purpose. We came together to bring under this one big umbrella people who love Jesus and want to go and bring hope to lost and broken people. That's our purpose. Our desire is not to bicker a bunch amongst our churches, and we have a pretty big, if you want to be reformed, you can. If you don't want to be reformed, that's fine. We can have different theological stances. Obviously, we have our important ones that we're going to die on. But our desire has always been to reach the lost, the broken, the hurting, the hopeless. And so we are in some of the hardest to reach places in the world. We go to places we can't even tell you where the Alliance goes to places where it can't tell you where people are because of the danger it presents. Because there is a need out there. There's a need, obviously. Look at our country. There's a need here. But there's a church on at least in every city, usually. Every town. There are countries that have never heard that there is hope. And so we as an Alliance have chosen to put our focus on going to these places. Me and my family are going to a place that's a hard place. And we believe that God has called us to go and spread His hope. But I don't want to pass up this one quick moment, and I'm about to conclude here. That the reality is maybe there's some of you in this room right now that feel hopeless. There have been times for me over these past 11 years and even before that, but in these past 11 years where we faced some trials that legitimately caused questions like, God, where are you right now? There are times where I felt hopeless, even as I walked and pursued Jesus. And so the reality is I know in this room there's potential, and it's probable that you may be experiencing a hopeless situation in your life. I want you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it really, really stinks, and it's really, really hard. But God will prove himself faithful at the end. Maybe you've never felt hope. Maybe you have never believed or put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you have grown up in the church, heard the words in the church, but have never really had hope. You've tried to look the right way, act the right way, sound the right way. I just want to encourage you, God is big enough for your questions. And so if you feel hopeless, go to him. Say, God, what is this all about? I don't feel like this is true. I believe he'll show you that it is true, and he will give you hope. After the service, we'd love if you guys would stay, interact with us more, so that we can be a little bit more clear on what we're doing, where we're going, etc. But I just want to encourage you with this. God loves you and came and died for you to bring you hope so that he would be glorified. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you came for us. That apart from anything we could have done, you chose to come and reconcile us to God, the Father. Jesus, I ask that you would be glorified in the rest of our conversation today. That as we go into communion, that we would remember your body broken for us, your blood spilt for us. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.